Okay, so I'm not going to take a long time. I am going to preach a short sermon after these testimonies, and a couple of my deacons laughed when I said that, and that was not kind. And I want to ask for the Arthur Lodge anointing to come upon me, and so it's going to be very short. Amen. So we're going to turn the service over to Brother Gary. How many people know what Teen Challenge is? Amen. Amen. Well informed. Brother Gary will maybe give you more information. Yep. There you go.
Good morning, church. My name is Gary Wines. I'm a staff member here at Adult and Teen Challenge. I just want to say thank you for having us. Boy, y'all showed us a warm welcome. Let's give it up for that. Let's give it up for the praise and worship team. That is awesome. Lord. I am so glad we ain't got to come behind that today. Yeah. All right. So by show of hands, who's actually familiar with the Adult and Teen Challenge? Adult and Teen Challenge was founded in 1958 by David Wilkerson. He was in his study looking at a Time Life magazine. In that Time Life magazine, it had seven youth in trial for a murder charge. And he went to the court system there in court where they was at, and they wouldn't let him in, wouldn't let him talk to the judge. You know, he just, you know, the Lord put it upon his heart to go try. And he never could. So he goes back home, and he's praying about it again, telling the Lord, hey, what do you want me to do? Well, the Lord put it upon his heart to go to the families. And when he went to the families, he realized there was a drug addiction, there was an alcohol addiction, and it was broken families. And that's where Teen Challenge was founded from. Now we have 250 centers in the United States and 1,000 worldwide. We're a prodigy of that. They said that we would never make it in Little Savannah because we didn't have any big churches to support us, any mega, you know, churches. But thanks to y'all, we've kept it open now for 24, going on 24 years. Yes. Woo. And I stand before you as a prodigy of that. Last Sunday, I've been 4 years clean. Praise God. Yes. Praise Jesus. You know, they took me in. I didn't have any money, didn't have no family support. I'd burned all the bridges, you know, that I had. I didn't have nothing. They said, come on in. We've got you. And after I graduated, they offered me a job, and I've been there ever since. I live in house. I've got the coolest job in the world. I get to spend each and every day with these guys talking about Jesus, praising about Jesus, and just glorifying Jesus in everything we do. Just a brief little deal. We go out and work in the community. We have a landscaping crew. We have a construction crew. We also do moving jobs, and we wash cars. That's how we actually support it, you know, other than y'all. And, you know, we get to go out in the community and just praise God every day. And, I will say Teen Challenge is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. It is. Brother, you stand up. How long you been out now? March 18th, you graduated. You came from Memphis. Well, that's awesome. My hat goes off to you. Thank you, brother. Yes. Amen. Yeah. I'll speak for him. It is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, but it's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my life. I used to have a Jesus-sized hole, and I tried to fill everything of the world but Jesus. And now I stand before you by his grace and mercy. By his stripes, I've been healed. You know. And just a brief deal about our house. We get up at 5:30 in the morning. These guys come down for breakfast at 6 o'clock. We go into devotion. They eat at 6:30. They go, you know, we clean, you know, wash dishes and everything. We go into class at 7 o'clock. From 7 to 9, we have class. And then we go out and work from 9 to 5 o'clock. We come back Monday night. We do a study hall. Tuesday night, we do a study hall. Wednesday is church. Thursday, we have a chapel there at our center. And anywhere there's a church open through that, we're there. We believe in one thing, the power of Jesus Christ. The 12-step was not enough for us. We go by the 12-step rules. We go into one, the power of Jesus Christ. He can heal. He sets you free. Amen. Yep. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost walking around in here, brother. He's here. He's in these presence. He's in these walls. My first testimony, we're going to bring up. Come on up, Damien. Damien's one of y'all's. Woo! Yes. Yes, he's got like a month to go here. Y'all are getting a warrior back. I'm going to miss, I already miss him already.
Well, good morning, everybody at Bridge of Hope. Well, my name is Damian Nichols, and I am 47 years old, and I was an alcoholic. Thanks to Jesus, I am no longer an alcoholic. With that being said, let's go ahead and bow our heads and say a small prayer, would you please? Dear Lord above, let my lips be anointed to spread the message of hope to someone in this church today, in your congregation, and in your flock. In Jesus' loving name, amen. All right, well, we're not going to waste any time this morning, everybody. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, therefore in Christ he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I stand before you now, a new creation. Sorry about that. Not to glorify Satan, but to come give praise to the Lord. For the change here at the Adult and Teen Challenge has been wonderful. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in Dixon, Tennessee. I actually come from the town of Waverly. And my parents were divorced when I was about 2. My younger brother, sister, and I were raised by our mother and visited our dad in the summers. We had a relationship with both parents. We enjoyed living with our mother during the school year. She believed in God and took us all to church. So we had church all year round. Didn't matter about divorce, so that was great. My dad also believed in God, took us to church everywhere we went to with him in the summertime. It was Catholic, sorry. But it still counts. So with that being said, God was in our lives. It was never a problem. Never a problem. One thing I can say is that both our parents loved us equally while we were growing up. With that being said, let me tell you about my first alcoholic experience. I was 6 years old. We had just come back from visiting our dad and stepmom over in Waverly. We were visiting our grandma and grandpa on my mama's side. I saw my grandpa pour a little bit of something in a glass that looked like water. I didn't really taste anything when he gave me a glass of it, a little shot glass of it. But I got a warm feeling afterwards, man. I liked it. So I was like, can I drink another? Give me another. And so he gave me another. I didn't really feel anything except a little bit of a warm feeling, but nothing really, you know. So I got up. I stood up to go to the living room to watch TV, quickly wondering why somebody put tile on the wall. It got dark fast after that. I realized I was laying face first on the floor with Grandma yelling, Sonny, what'd you do to him? So I was like, Grandpa caught some heat on that one. Well, like I said, fast forward 10 years, my little brother and I had our first drinks of whiskey when we were with our friends one weekend. I was fixing to be a junior in high school. I remember loving the effects. From there, it was off to the races for me. I remember thinking to myself, I can't wait to do this again next weekend. Alcohol could be unhealthy for anyone, but for me, it wound up doubly so because at 18, I had my first grandma seizure just 2 weeks before I was supposed to be leaving to go to the Army. I guess God had other plans for me, apparently, because many doors got closed to me when that seizure happened, a lot of doors. So I believe that was the start of my depression. It really crushed me knowing that I was 18 years old in a small town of Waverly, becoming an alcoholic. Didn't know that part, really. And now stuck on seizure medication, while everyone else I knew was leaving for the Army or college or even a great job. I was studying, trying to piece together my young life that had just taken a major nosedive. So with that being said, we're going to fast forward some more, 30 years later. February 11, 2012. My now ex-wife and I, we're told that our son, still in the womb, had passed away. That morning, an ultrasound confirmed that not only was the umbilical cord detaching from the wall, but it had also wrapped around his neck. The doctors induced labor, and we say goodbye to our sweet little boy. He had a name for him and everything. I remember seeing myself inside of a downward spiral looking at me, like a tornado cloud waving to myself. I could see me going down deeper into the abyss, and I couldn't do nothing about it. The only way I felt I could deal with it And to deal with all these feelings was for me to just keep on drinking. And boy, did I. I won't cover in great detail what I did in the way of drinking those days that followed. But in August of that same year, 2012, my wife finally came back home. She let me know at that point it was time for a divorce. So at that point, I realized just how much of a loser I was. Or so I thought. There I was. I just lost my wife, my son, my entire life, my house. 3 days later, I had my own apartment by myself and no one. No one. I felt like I'd already lost it all, so there was no tomorrow for me. One of my favorite verses to stand on with this being said right here comes from a good friend and brother of mine who's standing beside me right now. And that is Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. It was 5 years later, August 2017, when I realized I needed help. What else does an alcoholic do in times of distress? I bought a pint of vodka and walked down the road. Walked down Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee. I figured it wouldn't be long before the cops would come find me and come get me some help from there. Sure enough, they did. And I was right. In no time at all, two cops in a car came along, pulled a U-turn, and off to the hospital I went. That PI charge helped me to find a halfway house home that month in Murfreesboro. I've come to realize in this program that I am more of a warrior than a warrior. Right now, I am. I'd always thought of myself as better than that. But in February 2018, my mom's stepdad found where I was at and what I was doing. They came and got me and brought me back home to Camden. And that's when I started my trips coming here. I started my uphill battle then to lay down the bottle. I didn't really invite Jesus into the fight. Though I got back into church and even got rebaptized here at this very church, I still thought I could do it alone. Like an alcoholic, I was wrong. After many relapses, minor and major, I got my only DUI charge on July 10th of 2022 here in this town. During 3 days of drinking on the bench. Unbeknownst to me, those 3 days, my mom talked to the pastor. There you go. Yeah, I see you. Since my enrollment on September 7th of 2022 into the Adult and Teen Challenge in Savannah, it has definitely been a struggle. A whole lot of studying and learning and a struggle about who I am and what interests me. All the while, I'm proud to say I have been learning a lot more about Jesus Christ. Here goes a 5-1 right here. In the program here, we have a choir practice. Almost every other day. My first thought on this was, you got to be kidding me. Because an alcoholic's a great singer when he's by himself. Oh, I rock it. And when I'm with others. But one song we definitely sing that I definitely love, it touches me, I love it. And it's called My Jesus. There's a line in that song, ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. That's one of the songs we sing. I definitely let that touch my heart because, well, I think the Holy Spirit's done took over and did it, so I don't have any say-so on that one. So whatever he decides, we go with it. Because so far, I've been doing a good job on my own. I believe in his power of healing because I stand here before you sober and free because of Jesus' healing power. Let me tell you, this program ain't easy. It takes a lot of hard work to get the world out of somebody. And I got a brother I didn't even know I had. He's been through this program. He knows it. This program isn't easy. If you're sincere about waiting...
Neither is public speaking either, okay? So let me tell you that.
Yep. If you're sincere about wanting to quit, then letting Jesus in you should be the first step. And it shouldn't be hard. All you have to do is ask Him for help. He's there for you. He's been there. Two words I've learned from this program that I definitely want to give credit to. One is accountability, and two is complacency. You must always show accountability at all times, and you can never be complacent, because with complacency, you don't grow. With accountability, we all know. I'm by no means an easy person to get along with at times. I can definitely give the author of this speech credit, Mama. I've got brothers behind me, well, in front of me right now, that'll testify to that. So that on that note, I'd like to share with you another verse I stand on in this program. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Got that right, brother. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Appear, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up with, this comes into play because I know from experience that trying to tell an alcoholic something doesn't always go smoothly. I was always hard-headed and double-minded. Like I said, thank you for the co-author of this little speech here. Yes, much praise and thanks for that one. All right. It takes some serious breaking down in me to accept that this program has been nothing more than great. I mean, you can walk by all your life thinking you know Jesus, but sometimes it takes a good friend and brother to tell you how he is and who he is. You can hear him, but you don't know him until you know him. So with that being said, I want to go ahead and read one final one that, and this here is John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace in the world. You will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome this world. So with that being said, my graduation date from this program is still September 7th. Lord, I pray, and I know my brothers pray. I got 10 people that'll testify to that one. I still have a lot of growing to do in my days to come. I know that. That's one of the scariest parts there, but it's not so scary anymore than now that I have another friend. But I know with Jesus, it's all about progression, not perfection. And I will keep progressing with Him every day, in this program and out. Thank you for listening, and God bless you all.
Damien, great job, buddy. That's the first time Damien shared his testimony in a church atmosphere. He's done it in our little atmosphere there, but it's the first time he's done it in a crowd. Damien, great job, brother. I know they're proud of you. You know, when these guys come into the program, when I came into the program, and y'all, we want to get everything done right then. We want to jump into everything. We want to get it over with. Hey, what do we got to do to get back to our family? What do we got to do for our first pass? What's going to see us to? And I go back to Matthew 6:33. First seek the righteousness of His kingdom and all things will be given to you. Not some things, not maybe some stuff. It all will be restored to you if you will just first seek Him. And I tell the guys, just wait for it. Wait for the blessing. Just stand, just be still. Be still and know that I am God. And, we serve an awesome God, a God of grace, mercy, a God of second and third and fourth chances. But you know, one thing that we take advantage of him, we call upon him when everything is good. We don't call upon him when everything is good, but when everything is bad, we seek him. We you know, that's all we want. You know, in this program, we go through classes every day. It's a 14-week group study of temptation, how to know that I am God, the Word of God, you know, and it just pours into their hearts. And what it does, it allows them to open up and just realize, hey, you know, I've not been doing wrong. You know, there is stuff, you know, in our minds, in our addiction, in all of our minds, in the world, the worldly things, we look over so much. And right here stands it. Damien's mom, Alex's mom, you know, it's a blessing. Timmy's family, it's a blessing to have the families here. And that's what it's truly about. It's truly about God's forgiveness and grace and mercy. And, man, just be blessed. You know, we are so blessed to be in the little bubble we're in. You know, we don't allow any TV in. We don't allow any newspapers in. We just enclose them from the world and just put them in the Word of Jesus. That's what we deal in every day. Our next testimony is Stephen. Come on up, brother. What have you been here, 10 months now?
8 months.
8 months. He's been here 8 months. He's a blessing. He works on the landscaping crew. Boy, he works too. Yeah. Tell him about you, Jesus, brother.
Good morning. Good morning, church. That was a great job, Damien, by the way. It's hard to follow that one. My story isn't much different than most. I was running from God, and he was chasing me. It's just worded a little different. Let's see, my name is Stephen Morris. I'm 37 years old. I grew up in a great home with parents that loved me. I was raised in Memphis until I was 7. My parents moved me and my sister out of the city limits because the crime was so bad. But that didn't stop me from finding the destructive life of drugs and alcohol. I started smoking cigarettes and pot about the age of 10 because I thought it was cool. By the age of 16, I had added alcohol. And by the age of 19, I'd moved up to the harder drugs. But this is when I first acknowledged God. He got me off the harder drugs, but instead of chasing him then, I turned to a worldly route, and I got on antidepressants, Adderall, Xanax, and whatever the doctor prescribed me. Let's see. I always felt an emptiness inside that I tried filling with worldly things but never succeeded. You know, when I was 30, my life flipped upside down. First, me and my wife parted ways. Soon after that, I lost my house. And my cousin / best friend ended up getting murdered in Memphis. And on top of that, my daughter was moved 9 hours away to Dallas, Texas. The pain from all that, and that was all within 6 months. No, it was tough. The pain from all that was more than I could bear, and I knew I needed something different. Because I was already drinking and drugging more than most all my friends and family. And this is when I first started chasing Jesus. But I still was taking most of the drugs. I couldn't stop the pharmaceutical drugs. I had excused them by saying a doctor prescribed them and they were okay. Then one day I started praying for convictions and things in my life. I asked God to open my eyes to sin I didn't know I was committing. And that's when he revealed to me the truth, that drugs were nothing but a way for Satan to bound me in his grips. My doctor and certain friends were just enablers. I now decided to get off all the drugs, but for the longest, I didn't think it was possible to get back to the point where God designed me, being drug-free and dependent on him alone. But every time I thought about not being able to stop, the Holy Spirit put on my heart, Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't know which was worse, the conviction and guilt of wrongdoing or the chastisement and the pains of reshaping me back to God's original design. Let's see, my life has definitely been a wild ride of highs and lows, but I wouldn't change a thing because without my brokenness and mishaps, I would not have learned God's measure of his mercy, measure of God's mercy, of his grace, of his faithfulness and compassion. Yep. Another verse I stand on is Zechariah 4:6, which the Lord says, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Yeah. And I stand on this verse because I tried my whole life to do things my way, with my strength, and I failed over and over again. And it's time to start living the way God intended. Since I've been at Teen Challenge, I've learned I can live substance-free and be happy. I also learned that God is a God of restoration. He's restored my mind, my strength, and most importantly, relationships like the one with my daughter. I've also learned that while there may be a pill that helps cure the body, there's no pill to cure the soul. And that's where Jesus comes in. Yep. And that's all I got, guys. Thank you so much.
Are we on live stream? We are. Oosh. We go to mega churches. We see sometimes two services a Sunday, you know, and on every Wednesday we go to different churches. We travel churches Wednesday. It's kind of an open church night. And I'll be honest with you, this congregation right here is fuller than a lot of mega churches we've been in. I want to give it up to you, Pastor. Yes. Yeah. You know, one of the things in here that I find the hardest problem I have to deal with is taking into these guys, just pouring into them. And some of them I get a little close to, get too close to. I try not to draw friends out of them, but it just comes natural. This next testimony, I truly call him friend. I get to spend a lot of time with him. He works in the kitchen. On an average day, me and him around each other 7 or 8 hours a day. He's kind of one of my go-to guys. Come on up, Alex. Tell him what God's doing in your life. Tell them about your Jesus.
That's my Jesus. All right, so hey, my name is Alex Jerding, 23 years old, from Winchester, Tennessee, but I was born in Dyersburg, Tennessee, if anybody knows where that is. So really growing up, I had no excuse for the way I turned out. My parents were very loving. It was a good childhood. I was spoiled, if you will, entitled. And I took that all for granted. Growing up, I never really went to church unless Papa Joe, he took me during Christmas or Easter or whatever, but I never really went for the right reasons. I really didn't believe in God back then. Fast forward to around 18, started experimenting with marijuana, psychedelics, hallucinogens, and all that. And, you know, I thought I was becoming spiritual. I thought I was becoming one of the universe, and just to realize that's not what real spirituality is. I completed high school and all that, went to one semester through college and dropped out because, you know, just life got hold of me. I suffered from anxiety, depression, more mental illness that I can really count. But the good thing about the good Lord is he's healed me from all that. Like I said, I started experimenting with marijuana and psychedelics. And then I went to Oregon for a little bit, come back because my Mimi, she wasn't doing so well. So I had to come back for my Mimi. It turns out when I left my brother in Oregon, he passes away. He loses the battle to depression. And that was my best friend in the whole world. It was me against me and him against the world. And I lost my companion, if you will, my player too. And that really took an impact to my depression and my anxiety. So now I'm not smoking marijuana anymore. I'm doing man-made drugs that was never meant to be put in a human body. And it was just to escape the world. And if I can't deal with death. If anyone knows about death, it's hard to cope with substances or alcohol, drugs, whatever. It's really hard. You're not going through the grieving process. Since I've been sober for about 7 months, but going on 8 months now, I'm still grieving over the death of my brother and my Mimi, and it's hard. It's hard every day, but you gotta keep pushing, because in the good book of Isaiah 38, starting at verse 16, Lord, by such things people live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health, and you let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. He puts put my sins on his back, and he carries that load for me. And he's restored me mentally, spiritually, physically. He's healed me of all those. He's repaired every bridge that I've burned down. And my mom is here. And her and my stepfather prayed me into a teen challenge. I went through a 30-day rehab, and it turns out it wasn't for me. They always said, if you don't come for yourself, you're going to be back in this facility or something, you know, similar. And that never registered into me. I said, I'm never going to put myself in a position to, you know, put myself in that position again, but here I am. And it is an absolute blessing, because not only am I alive, but I'm alive for him, with him, and through him. So sometimes I still have, I have my good and bad days. We all do, but for me, it's extreme. And God gave me this revelation today on the way here. And, it's, 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, Paul talking about the thorn in his side. And, I do have a thorn in my side. And, I'm starting at, verse 8. Well, now I have to find it. Hello. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Teen Challenge has really helped me. It helped me with my attitudes, my lifestyle, and just in general. Mr. Gary, he says, I'm like a horse with a, what is that, rhines or reins? I mean, every once in a while, I buck, but you know, they got the reins on me. So, and I'm grateful for that, because without Teen Challenge, I wouldn't be here. Without God, I wouldn't be here. And that's an absolute blessing. There's a lot of structure and discipline here, self-discipline. And, by the grace of God, I haven't been in the discipline board for a little bit, so. A couple weeks, you know, it's getting better. Really, that's about it. God has done miraculous things for my life and through me. The scripture I stand on is Revelation 21:6, and this is God talking. It is done. I am Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end. To those that are thirsty, I give the water of life freely. And what that means to me is, as long as I seek him, follow his commands, and, you know, just want to be more Christ-like, he would give me eternal life. And for the first time in forever, not only do I want to live, but I want to live for him. Amen. That's all I got. Thank you.
We've had several graduations, and our numbers are down right now. So y'all keep us in your prayers so we get some guys in. But next time we come back, we'll have some songs for you. All right? Back in the back corner, we have a display board set up. It's got some books across and a switchblade. It's got some pictures of the guys just working. We have a landscaping crew, lawn crew. You know, it's kind of a little long ways, but if y'all get some jobs, I wouldn't mind coming up here. Also, it's got a newsletter back there if you want to receive a letter of where we're going to be at, the services are to come, or if you just want to become a monthly sponsor. But all that literature is free if you want to take it. And right now, I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Amen. I knew you would enjoy that. I've always enjoyed hearing these testimonies from Teen Challenge. And man, that's, isn't it wonderful that God can restore your life even when you've just totally blown it? Hold on, we need to go with Tim. I want to talk to you about every promise of God is true. And I know you're a little bit nervous right now. Even my wife leaned over and she said, can you preach this in 15 minutes? The answer is probably no. And so give me some grace. In 2 Peter, we finished 1 Peter and we're going to 2 Peter. And I'll probably come back a little bit to this next week. Let me just tell you, in 1 Peter, he is writing to persecution from the outside persecution that was coming in. But in 2 Peter, he writes to persecution that was within the body. And so sometimes we get erroneous teaching and it begins to degrade the way we live. And that's what he is writing to. He's writing to them from a point of deception. That was being taught in the church that it doesn't matter how you live. Well, it does matter how you live. And he was telling them to live a holy life. So first, our 2 Peter chapter 1, we're just going to cover 4 verses. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that was the testimonies that you heard this morning. They have escaped the corruption that was going to kill them and going to take them to hell. And by the grace of God, they were able to escape. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today. And Lord, I believe everybody in this house is just celebrating these lives that have been changed. God, we're so thankful that you never give up on us. God, you will go, Lord, you just go to the nth degree to try to reach us, Lord, and we're so thankful. I thank you, Lord, that you touched Damien, and God, as I talked, I just realized he is so different, Lord. He's not even the same person that we sent, and I thank you, Lord, that he is a new creation in Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for each one of these young men. And God, what amazing things you have planned for their life. And for everyone in this building, Lord, you are so gracious and so kind and so loving. And so our hearts are just overwhelmed, Lord, with your goodness. And we rejoice today in you. God, help us, Lord, to open these words up, Lord, so that our hearts can receive them. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Some very present needs in the body. So when you lift up, when you pray, make sure you lift up the needs of the church. DJ got burned this weekend, and so he's suffering some pretty bad burns. They were going to take him to Vanderbilt, but they decided not to, so... But I'm sure he's in a lot of pain, so pray for him. Deb Matthews texted me and said her dog is, I didn't read the whole text, but she wanted us to pray for her dog. And this is the kind of church that, yes, we'll pray for your dog. We believe that if you love it, God loves it, and God will help you, so... Okay, so I just wanted to give you a couple of, just 3 points really. And he says in the first verse, to those who have obtained like precious faith. And if you hear me pray, a lot of times you'll hear me pray that, Lord, I thank you for people of like precious faith. I've said the last few weeks, we all start the same. We all start at the foot of the cross, but we don't stay there. Our growth is up to us. Our salvation is up to him, and he saves us by his grace. So we all have this precious gift. And I think sometimes as you walk with Christ, you begin to forget how precious the gift of salvation is. And we begin to take it for granted. We begin to say, oh yeah, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, yeah, you know, I love Jesus, or I'm following Him. You hear testimonies like this, and it sort of shakes you, doesn't it? There go I, except by the grace of God. Right? That could have been any one of us in this room. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. So He says that we have obtained on this precious faith. And so Ephesians comes, and Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians, and he says, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. See, that precious like faith that we have was a gift. God gave us the gift of faith. Isn't that something? Everything about our salvation has been a gift to God. You have not worked for it. You did not earn it. You don't deserve it. It's grace that you're saved through faith. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what? You're not even so smart that you sought Him. He sought you. It was His idea. He come looking for you long before you looked for Him. Thank you, Jesus. There's one other verse that I love this verse. It's in Romans chapter 5. And he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, justification, the term justified is actually a legal term. And it's saying that Jesus didn't just look the other way to your sin. He didn't say, well, let's just ignore that. No, no. There was no ignoring your sin. There's the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what the Word says. But your sin has been justified. In other words, Christ paid it for you. He steps up in the jury box and He said, yeah, they're guilty. I'll bear that one. I'll take that. And so it's by faith, or we've been justified by faith. And so now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And peace is real. I'm telling you, you need the Paul said that peace should lead and guide us. It should umpire our life. When you lose your peace, for goodness sake, stop. Quit going in that direction. Stand still and wait till your peace comes back. Because God's probably changing lanes. He's probably doing something different in your life. And sometimes we're just so hard-headed, we just keep going the same direction, don't we? But we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So one of the greatest things that God does to us with salvation is He allows us to come before the throne of God. I'm telling you, He invites us into the very throne room of heaven. When you pray, that's what's happening. God's saying, come on up, son. Come on and talk to me. Come and share with me. Let's commune together. Let's talk together. I learned something so great this week as we were studying on Wednesday night. And, you know, we were studying about John the Baptist and his mom and dad, Elizabeth and Zacharias. Remember the story? She had been barren all of her life. The angel Gabriel comes up to them and says, Zacharias, God has heard your prayer. Your wife is going to conceive. Hey, guess what? Zacharias is an old man at that point, and Elizabeth is an old woman. I promise you, they were not praying for a baby. They had prayed for a baby. If you'll get this, this will turn you on. The prayer that he probably prayed 20, 30 years ago, the angel comes up and says, I've heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer. Isn't that wonderful? See, we may think God forgot. We may think, well, He didn't remember that one. He just ignored me. No, your prayers are stored up in heaven. And maybe 20, 30 years from now, I hope not this way, He may come back to you and say, I've heard your prayer. Treva, you're going to have another child. Bless the Lord. And my prayer is, it's with your second husband. So we have this precious faith. This precious faith that unlocks heaven. Do you get it? This precious faith that we have unlocks the resources of heaven, and now God is on your side. Man, that's powerful. And so he goes on and he says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That verse will change your life if you'll let it sink in. Everything you need, God provides. Is that not powerful? If you really believe that, why are you seeking so many other things? This brother said it, seek first the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added into you. God will take care of the details of your life if we'll just seek Him and seek Him first. He must be number one in our life. So He says that He'll give us everything we need. And He goes on and He says, through the knowledge of Him. You see, sometimes we don't know how to pray because we don't have the knowledge. See, once you understand that God is Jehovah Jireh, the provider, God is Jehovah Rapha, the healer, Sitkanu, your righteousness, right? God is this, our sanctifier. God has all this in store for us that we don't understand because we're not seeking His face. But if we will seek Him, if we will get the knowledge, I'm going to tell you something on these guys. They have more knowledge about drug and alcohol than any of the rest of us. And it took them almost to hell. They were seeking the wrong stuff. They have great knowledge in the wrong area. And now they have turned their desires and they are pouring their time and their energy into knowing Christ. Lee blesses my heart because he is hungry for the things of God. Right? This guy, when he said he just graduated this year, I'm like, golly, that doesn't make sense. I mean, he is just, and I'm not trying to lift up a man. We lift up Jesus. It's not Lee, it's Jesus in Lee. But he is, you see what I'm saying? He's got his priorities right. And some of us that's been in the church a long time, we turn this relationship into religion. It's not religion, folks. We're not religious. We're not trying to be religious. We love Jesus. And yesterday we went out, talked to some people, and I kept saying, do you know Him? Are you following Him? You ask them if they're a Christian, everybody in Paris, Tennessee is a Christian. I mean, they're just, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, well, what's Jesus? Who is Jesus? Now, which guy is he? Ask him, what's the pastor of your church? Oh, well, they can't ever come up with a pastor. Oh, I go to church. What's your pastor's name? Hey, my name's Eric Kelleher. I just think you ought to know that. If you claim to go to church here, I want you to know my name, okay? It says, through the knowledge of Him, God called us to Himself. There's two sayings that I think. One is in Scripture. Jesus calls to the disciples and He says, come and dine. It's when He has come back, right? It's after the resurrection. He's on the shore cooking breakfast for them. He says, come and dine. Aren't you thankful that He is still calling us? Come and dine. Come and eat. Come and get fed. Come and be refreshed in the Holy Ghost. There's another saying of men that says this, come and die. Because that's the real calling of Christ. Come and die to yourself so that you can live in Him. You got to meet that one day. Your calling is from God, but your growth is up to you. The third point that I want to... I'm doing really good. I've got that lodge anointing. third point I wanted to give you, and I can get hung up on this one, so you keep praying. It says, He is giving us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, my goodness. Today, we were studying John 14 in our Sunday school class, because I've been thinking, what are the promises of God? I've been trying to go through them. The greatest promise of God was when Jesus was talking to His disciples, telling them something they did not understand. And He's saying, I've got to get out of here. I've got to leave, but I won't leave you orphans, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back to you. Hallelujah. So we have the Holy Spirit within us. God in us. The hope of glory. Greater than the enemy. But what fascinated me in Sunday school, we all have a little bit of different versions. And the fact that they couldn't come up with one name for the Holy Ghost. Mine said advocate. Somebody else's said helper. Someone else's version called Him a comforter. And I thought, and we could go on and on and on talking about the names of the Holy Ghost, couldn't we? He has given us exceedingly great promises. One of the promises of salvation. One promises of hope. I shared that. Access to the Father. Strength. Help. Promise to these young men and to all of us that God never gives up on us. That He will complete the work that He starts in us. He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The Greek word for the Holy Ghost is one called Parakletos. That's the Greek word, Parakletos. And so all those names that I just mentioned, He's the helper, He's the advocate, He's the comforter. It all goes back to that one word, that Greek word, Parakletos. And Parakletos means the one called alongside. Hallelujah. You got that, don't you? So you're never alone. He started this off and He says, I won't leave you orphans. And I was telling the kids, they're kids to me. They're young adults, 20 years old, up to about 25, 26. And I said, guys, you still got your parents. But when your parents die, no matter what age you are, there's a spirit that sort of hits you in the face that now you know you're an orphan. You can't call mom anymore. You can't rely upon dad. If you get some financial problems, you don't have that to call. And Jesus knows that pain. He knows that feeling. And He says, I won't leave you as an orphan. I will send someone who's got your back. Hallelujah. You know, there are people in life who God brings into your life that you know they've got your back. You know, they'll be there for you in the worst storm of your life. You know, I can call this person and they will stand with me. They'll be with me. But no one does it like Jesus. No one. The closest we can get is try to help with emotional support or maybe a little financial support. But I'm telling you, not only is Jesus with us, but the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. That's why, I forget which one of you read that verse, that I'll boast in, was that you? I will boast in my weaknesses because He's made strong in my weaknesses. Buddy, that's a powerful verse. Because men don't like to admit that they're weak. Oh no. That ego and pride will stand up and say, I'm not weak. I can do anything I set my mind to. Sounds just like Ronnie Woods right there. But the truth is, we need Him. We need Him so much. And He says, you have this. I love it. When the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit wrote the Word, right? And so, I don't know if you saw that, but He says, these have been given to us exceedingly. It's like the Holy Spirit can't stop. He can't accentuate this enough. He says, this exceedingly, these great and precious promises. And it's all of those. And what's it all about? So that you can escape the corruption. Two things. Escape the corruption that's not to come, but that's here already. You know, there's a verse in Peter that we'll cover in just a little bit. And he says, that righteous man Lot, his soul was vexed. That means poisoned. His soul was poisoned because of the manner of living, the way that life was happening around you. I'm telling you, if you partake of the world, it will poison you. But if you'll cling to Jesus, you can escape. You can escape that corruption. And that's not the best part. The best part is, he says, I want to take you out of that. And then, listen to this. And I want to make you a partaker of the divine nature of God. I can't heal anybody, but I can partake. Do you understand that? I can lay my hands on people and believe God that He's the healer. And there's nothing as glorious as knowing that God is using you. It's a wonderful experience to know that the Holy Ghost talked through me or did something through me. It's such an honor that God would use this old flesh. You know? And that's what He's saying. I want you to partake of my nature. You know, our nature's not so great. It's selfish. It's a lot of things. But His nature is perfectly good. Perfectly good. You know, 2 Timothy, it says that even when we're faithless, God is faithful because He cannot deny Himself. That's His personality. That's who He is. That's the character of God, is faithfulness. So even when we come to the throne without faith, God is still faithful. He still hears your prayer. God is able. And I just want you to think, we're just opening this book, and already in four verses, the promises of God are so real. The journey that you have started is so exciting to walk with God, and He is allowing you to experience Him. And it's possible that maybe you hadn't started your journey. It's possible that, I forgot which one of you, I think it was Damien that said I was raised, every one of you, did you notice something? Every one of them bragged on their parents. You know, there's something in our heads that says drug addicts had bad parents. It ain't true. These guys with addiction and ladies with addiction, sometimes they come out of good, godly homes. See, Satan is not a respecter of persons. He will take advantage of anyone that allows the door to be open. It's amazing how we open the door to the enemy. Today, I want you to open the door to a friend of mine, a friend called Jesus. I don't want you to sit in this church thinking, well, maybe I'll get to heaven. I think I've done everything right. 1 John chapter 5 says you can know. You ought to know. You ought, if there's a doubt in your mind that you're going to heaven, you ought to settle that today. You ought to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. He's willing to come in, but you've got to submit. Right? That verse, resist the devil and he'll flee. Wash your hands, you sinners. Amen. Today we may need to do some washing of hands. Would you stand with me? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to make sure that every one of you know Jesus as your Savior. If there's one person here today that is doubting your salvation, would you just raise your hand and just sort of wave at me and say, Pastor, I think I know, I think I'm saved, but I'm not 100% positive. Anyone here that says, hey, brother, that's me, will you pray for me this morning? Because I'd love to lead you in a prayer to accept Jesus Christ. Your sins will be forgiven. Your past will be your past. God not only forgives you your sin, but he takes the shame away. Are you living in shame today? Are you still ashamed of the past? Let God remove that. Amen. Anyone at all? Amen. Then by your silence, I believe you're saying that every one of us in this room are born again. Can I just say something very honest? We should have raised the roof today in worship even more than we did. If every one of us have had our sins forgiven, if we know that we know that we know that we've escaped the corruption that's in this life and that we have been made part of the divine nature of God, man, when we get together, it ought to be party time. We ought to blow the roof off of this church every time we're together with praise and worship. It's amazing to me that church people can go to a ball game and act like an idiot, but they come to church and they think they're supposed to be silent. You got it wrong, folks. We need to celebrate what God has done on the inside every service. Can we take just a moment and let's give God some praise? Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! We worship you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So thankful you're born again. That you're full of hope. Quit listening to the devil. Quit listening to the devil. Your future is bright and is full of hope with Christ. I'm not talking to these guys on the front row. I'm talking to you. Talking to you. Good to see you, girl. Praise the Lord. God just keeps doing stuff in your life, doesn't he? Amen. And that's the same with every one of us. Every one of us, I believe, could stand up here and give a testimony of the goodness of God. That's what these guys did. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. Amen. Brother Denny, oh, by the way, don't think this is going to be normal. Next week you'll get the rest of the sermon.
Could I make one quick announcement, Denny? There is a bridal shower in 2 weeks on Saturday, August the 5th at 2 o'clock here, Summer Melton and Bryson Milam. There it is. Don't forget, I just wanted to remind you because it's coming up soon, August 5th. Thanks.
Remember to put a reminder on your phone. Thursday at 6:30 is our community service. We get to go and worship together at United Methodist Church. People that are of like precious faith as us as well. It may look a little different, but that's okay. They serve Jesus. We serve Jesus. We're family, right? We have the same precious faith as these guys, even though theirs may look a little different. They all wear the same shirt to church. We don't normally do that, and that's okay, right? They still love and serve Jesus just like we do. That's all right. Please do me a favor. Stop by their table in the back. Look and see what they got going on. If they've touched you today, I encourage you to support them in any way you can. Also, one last announcement. If you're currently part of the security team here at Bridge of Hope, or if you want to be part of the security team, they're having a quick meeting in the fellowship hall immediately after service, so head straight back, and Tony will be back there to answer questions and all that. So raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing and nothing broken, and go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.